This is John J. York, Eric from the 80s TV show Werewolf the Series, and you're listening to the DETV Podcast.
Welcome back to the Dead TV Podcast, podcast dedicated to ending all canceled TV shows in the sci-fi, fantasy, and horror genre, and we are continuing leaning into the end. We only have like a handful of episodes left of Werewolf the Series. I'm your host, Dr. Chris.
And I'm Mr. Seneca.
Here's a quick soundbite from somebody who's not going to be able to come on the show because he has unfortunately passed away. And that is from the late, great Sid Haig, who is one of the characters in the first episode of the two that we are covering. I met Sid Haig at Rock and Shock several times, and he, of course, you know, I think this point in this episode, he is at a low in his career, but he's going to explode in 2001 with Rob Zombie's The House of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, yeah. He is Captain Spaulding from
Correct.
That point on.
Yep. And Mr. Seneca has a plot synopsis for this Sid Haig episode of Werewolf the Series.
Werewolf, Season 1, Episode 23, King of the Road, originally aired Sunday, February 7th, 1988. Eric jumps on a train in his quest for Sgorzeny. He finds a band of hobos who are suspicious of him when one of their members has his throat slit while they sleep.
And I also want to point out that we've never covered it, and but we've had multiple talks about the actors from the show. Has been resurrected recently on Disney Plus because a lot of the actors, including one particular we did extensively, World of the Worlds, and the actress who played Jean Grey on the X-Men the Animated Series, as well as we've seen actors who played Beast and Magneto and Professor X. X-Men 97 started on Disney Plus, so a resurrected canceled show, which we've known about for a couple of years now. But we've talked about X-Men a lot because those actors have been on a lot of shows that we have covered.
Absolutely. And I watched the first two episodes and I may have to say, absolutely fantastic.
Not hearing one person who's hating it. I'm hearing people who are just angry and want to know what is going to happen next. Especially with somebody who lost their powers, which I will not.
Yeah,
name
no spoilers on that. You know, people
but
need to see that.
Something that has been all over the internet, and because her action figure has been out there, the Goblin Queen plotline hits you over the head hard at the end of the second episode, and what that means. And we're not going to get into it here because we're not covering the show. But do yourself a favor and go read Chris Claremont's run of X-Men, and then what happened to Scott after Jean was killed during the Phoenix Saga, which, by the way, in the comics, she was killed technically, but she was buried at the bottom of the river and Phoenix took her place.
Yeah,
and
comic books, death
Pryor,
is temporary.
Yeah, Madeline Pryor took her place in Scott's life as his new girlfriend, and because he's obviously looking through red blinders, he couldn't figure out this is a copy of Jean Grey. Years and years and years and years later, Mr. Sinister, who is going to be the a big villain of this season coming up, he reveals that Madeline Pryor is a clone of Jean Grey.
Mm.
After years and years of her being in the comics and then becoming the Goblin Queen and trying and fucking around demonic god, but only in the end realizing this is wrong, mothers don't sacrifice their babies, sacrifices herself only for Nathan Christopher Summers to get infected with a virus that has to have him sent to the future, and he would become the mutant known as Cable.
Wow.
A lot to unpack there, but all those characters have been on the show, so we'll see how it all kind of translates out. And a lot of people wondering if that was going to be Rachel Summers, who is Scott and Jean's daughter from the Days of Future Past timeline, where Bishop comes from. But obviously it was revealed to be baby Cable.
Mm.
Which, we've seen Cable on the show, so what does that mean? So, we'll have to wait and see. A lot of drama for a fucking kids cartoon, let me tell you.
Oh, it was always full of drama. And the senator's always running on her treadmill. I love it.
Definitely, definitely. So we're off the series. We begin with the time-old tale of the hobos on the train and Eric getting hustled by one of the hobos played by Sid Haig for his shoes.
Yeah. Eric jumps onto a freight train, and in it he finds a band of hobos, one of which is Sid Haig, who demands his shoes. And then Hank, the hobo Hank, played by Guy Stockwell,
Who is
who
Guy
is,
Stockwell? I know that name.
yeah, he's been in a lot of things. He passed on in 2002.
He's not Dean Stockwell's brother in any way, right?
Yes, he is
Stockwell's.
the.
He is Dean
He's the.
Stockwell's brother.
Yes.
Wow, interesting.
He is, yeah. He is the related.
Of the Quantum Leap of actor.
Yes. His brother, Dean Stockwell, is perhaps the better known actor of the two. But this is Guy Stockwell. And he stopped acting in 1990 with an episode of Columbo and Murder, She Wrote. But he was also in Quantum Leap and Square One Television and Math Nets for all you after school activity guys.
By the
I
way,
used to watch that.
I gotta say, this is gonna be the darkest episode of the entire show. I mean, it was really difficult to watch, and we're watching it from a VHS rip on YouTube. Just keep in mind, Silver Bullet fan who put all these episodes up on YouTube had to make an announcement that he is getting copyrighted and stricken by somebody claiming that these are his. Obviously, that's not possible. There's a lot of legal entanglements with Werewolf the series because of the different studios that had participated in it, because of the music. We never got that box set years ago. We
So
had talked about that.
is this recent? Is he going to pull his episodes
He's
from
gonna pull his
YouTube?
episodes, unfortunately.
Oh no.
But you can find multiple bootleg copies of the series online on torrent sites. I honestly, it's the only way to watch the show, guys, unfortunately. So, but yeah, he said he has to pull it soon, but he's gonna wait until the end of April, I think, so we should be almost done with the show by then.
Well, I'll probably just download them myself just so that I have a copy just in case.
Right, so, but he posts a lot in the Werewolf group about Silver Bullet, the movie, which obviously we've had a connection to because of Priest from Silver Bullet,
Yes.
was on Werewolf the series, which we talked about, based on
Yes.
the Stephen King novel and artwork by the late, great Bernie Wrightson.
Yes. In this episode, we do also see another werewolf.
Yes, rather interesting.
Yeah, this is a very interesting episode because there's a lot going on, you know, between the backstories of the characters, the stories they tell, which some of them really aren't helpful to the point of what's going on. But it all revolves around a murder or several murders. So Eric gets onto the freight train car. Lots of arguments and infighting happens, but Hank starts to protect the kid. And Hank winds up being murdered. You know, wake up and Hank's throat is slit. And so it all becomes an accusation, who did what, and Eric is determined to be the judge of a makeshift trial that they're going to take place inside the in the freight train car, talking about what happened at the other murders to try to peg down exactly which one of them is the killer.
It's a complete mystery.
And so yes, it's a very, very dark episode, as in like lighting. Very, very little lighting. As in like subject matter, it's a little dark. Honestly, I think some of the other subject matter of other episodes might have been darker.
I just think also because of like the setting of it being like the homeless people and stuff like that, they just gave it this glow of their trash can.
Yeah, and they have a large open fire inside a freight train car.
Right.
That I don't think you can actually do because a freight train car is pretty enclosed and you die from carbon monoxide poisoning.
I don't think they consider these fine
No,
details.
No. It's atmosphere.
That is for damn sure. It's some kind of atmosphere.
It's atmosphere. So what we determine from this episode is that there are six past murders of other homeless people, which these hobos call winos, the six winos, like kids that were street kids.
Oh, so they're doing society a favor. Oh, sorry.
One of the characters actually makes that comment, you know, about
oh,
someone.
doing society a favor of the drunks, the derelicts, and the homeless.
Yeah. He Doc
Hold on a
says
second.
That.
Hold on a second. I, by the way, kid everybody, that's not okay. But it is the joke in the episode.
It is the joke in the episode.
It is the joke in the episode. But I digress. Go on.
So as each person is telling their story of what happened to the last murder victim, this last murder victim, her old whore, who used to do this scam routine with her boyfriend, old man, partner, whatever, where she would lure a guy in and then he would knock him out cold and then they'd rob him. He got pinched, so she's now out on the street looking for drugs and places to stay, and she ends up winding up as a victim in this horrible, horrible mauling. And so they say like a real freak has to do that. And one of them is supposedly the murderer.
It's like that game Werewolf. You ever played that with your cell phone? Have you
I
ever heard of
have. I
that?
have also played the card game version as well.
Okay, yeah. Doesn't this kind of remind you of
It does, but I was never good at that game.
that? It's for anyone listening, yeah. Look up the game Werewolf. A lot of games copy that formula, and this episode definitely reminded me of that immediately as soon as we started getting deep into it.
Yeah, so for anyone that doesn't know, the game Werewolf is a lying and bluffing game. You get past a character anonymously, you look at your character, and then you're supposed to act appropriately for that character with these certain rules for the game. And then everyone opens their eyes, and there's a whole bunch of open your eyes, close your eyes, open your eyes, close your eyes for different character instructions. And then they all choose which person might be the werewolf and to attack that person. And then there's other people that are the doctors to heal a person, but you all have to make those choices before the day begins. So it's really a little bit of luck and a little bit of lying and bluffing and doing your characters right. And I was just never good at that.
It's kind of like how sometimes I feel about like when I play a LARP. I'm just sometimes I can do it, and sometimes I just don't think I'm very good at it.
Yeah, we have a cast of hobos here. We should actually talk about each one of them, not just
Oh,
Jay
okay.
and Guy Stockwell. So we have a character called Fresno, played by Tony Fields. And Tony Fields passed on in 1995, but he was in A Chorus Line as Al and Trick or Treat as Sammy Kerr. Not a huge career, but he was a dancer in the Captain EO Disney production in 1986.
I don't know that one.
You don't know Captain EO? It was a Michael Jackson
Oh, I'm not a
3D
Michael Jackson
movie.
fan after a lot of the stuff that's come out.
Oh,
I
I
can't.
know, but this was like old Disney,
Oh, no,
like
I don't know this one. I'm sorry,
80s.
you got me on this one. I do not know this one. But my Disney knowledge is kind of very, I think it's vast sometimes, and then it's very limited, and I'm not counting Star Wars and Marvel. I just talking about Disney. Pixar, sure, I probably could pull about, but because I've seen every Pixar film, but everything else, I don't know. You know what I mean? I just it this one is not ringing a bell. Is it on Disney Plus?
I don't know. It was a 3D movie experience at Disneyland when I went.
Oh, okay, so it's
It was
okay.
back before the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 3D took that over.
Oh, right. I have never been to Disneyland.
All right, well, moving on.
Sorry, I'm too poor. But
Okay.
I will be going to Hawaii coming up, but I'm going to Hawaii to stay with somebody, kind of like when I stayed with you. So it's not like I'm going to Hawaii and living like the Honolulu lifestyle. I'm
Sure,
just flying
sure.
myself out there. So people, when they're like, oh, you can go to Hawaii? Wow. I'm like, I'm staying with somebody and they're driving. So I don't have to worry about a rental car or a place to stay.
Well, at least you're not catching the freight train to Kansas City like Eric.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
Another one of the hobos is Portillo, who's played by Marco Rodriguez. And Marco Rodriguez is still alive today.
Oh,
And
interesting.
yeah, he's been recently on The Rookie Feds as a specialist. And let's see, in recent times, he's been on The Terminal List, Cry Macho, Into the Dark, Veronica Mars, and Snowfall. Let's see. He's got a huge career. Episodes of Desperate Housewives,
Wow.
Fast and Furious, Prison Break, The Seven, CSI, Cold Case, General Hospital, JAG, NYPD Blue. Like a
Got it.
huge career.
Yeah, so definitely it's bit part actor for life.
Yeah. And those are our hobos, which they They affectionately call themselves Bows. There's a difference between the hobo and the wino.
I don't have a lot of other notes for this episode beyond just the hobo plotline and then the murder itself.
Well, we do have to talk about when Hank wakes up. He is dead. He's had his throat slashed. And then he wakes up and starts turning into a werewolf. And after the whole, like, whodunit, you know, trial type of fighting, it is brought out with just a very tiny amount of pushing that Doc had witnessed Hank killing the whore. And then he was the one to kill
somebody
Hank.
Else that deserves to die. No, I'm kidding. Wow, so they're just killing all of the lowlifes of the 80s that people would definitely, if there were podcasts back then, be like, oh, that's fine. They're dead inside.
I mean, that is one of the themes in this episode, where the derelicts are just never given the proper attention from the police for protection. And instead, they just get taken to the prison for just, you know, being unhoused.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the episode, we see Eric still on that freight train, kind of semi-naked. We don't know if Hank is living or dead. We did not get anything out of that fight. It just, like, the fight started, and then it cut. So we don't really know what happened to Hank. And then that's where the episode ends.
There's a TV series called, there's She-Wolf of London, which we've talked about before. There's the She-Wolf of London movie from the Universal era of horror movies, you know, back in the Bela Lugosi, Boris Karloff days.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Wolfen or She-Wolfen or something. It stars Laura Vandervoot, who was Supergirl on, or Kara Zor-El on Smallville. And she plays the only female werewolf in an existence of werewolves. Not an apocalypse show. She just happens to be the only female werewolf. So obviously, like, all the male wolves probably just want to bang her. Or they want her. They. I mean, come on. They want her part of their packs. For obvious reasons. So
the female werewolf is actually not an ancient creature. So, you know.
Oh, maybe that is why that's part of the show. I didn't watch the show. I just heard it was terrible. So, and then, of course, Teen Wolf had to be female werewolves on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the other one? Being Human. The werewolf accidentally scratches his girlfriend and she turns into a werewolf.
Yeah.
And they have werewolf babies. And they're actually the only happy ending of both the Being Human shows.
Yeah.
Oz cheated on Willow with the female werewolf.
Yep.
All right, so the next episode.
Our next episode, season 1, episode 24, A Material Girl, originally aired Sunday, February 14th, 1988. Oh, Valentine's Day.
Aww.
When a werewolf murders some homeless kids, Eric tracks it to a mall and finds a homeless girl living there. He runs out of silver bullets and fashions a silver crossbow arrow, slaying the werewolf, only to find that it's the, spoiler alert, the homeless girl.
More homeless problems.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And this is kind of the expansion of the last episode, because it's mentioned that 6 winos, and they were described as like street kids, were murdered. This is kind of an expansion of that, where you see like the kids getting murdered. I don't know if it's like a little bit backwards in time or a little bit forwards in time, or, you know, where along the timeline this is, whether he's already done the Hank experience or this is just before that. Because we do see at the very beginning 2 kids get murdered by a werewolf.
Yeah, there's 2 kids right from the beginning who looked very familiar. Did you pull up their IMDb? My IMDb crashed.
Ah.
I also want to point out that there, I'm looking at a scene in the episode because I wanted to bring this up while I didn't take it down in my notes. There's a scene in the episode that looks like it's being shot through like a video camera. I can't tell if that is the video camera or the fact that it's this like just pull from a VHS tape recorded on TV, not HD high upgrade version of the episode.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, and then it fades to a white, and then it's like the werewolf looks like it's werewolf vision.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be werewolf vision.
Werewolf vision. Funny. Go on. Yeah. Okay, so who are these 2 kids?
So the 2 kids, Peter and Roger, are played by Stuart Fratkin, who is still alive. He was recently in, well, I wouldn't say recently, but the last acting credit he has is from 2016, Pit Fire of Hell, as Carl's dad. And then just before then, he had a long stint in the 2000s with episodes on Malcolm in the Middle, That's So Raven, NYPD Blue, Tremors, Spin City, and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show. He was also in the 1998 Godzilla movie as Uta Inson.
Wait, the 1988 Godzilla movie?
1998. Sorry.
Oh,
about that.
Okay. Who was he in that, in the Matthew Broderick film?
Uta Inson.
Ensign Uta or Uta Ensign?
Uta Ensign.
Okay,
Uta
yeah, there's
Ensign.
Very few Asian characters that are actually in that movie, with the exception of, like, in the beginning when they're, like, one's on the cot or whatever, talking about, you know, he says Gojira and they get it wrong and they call him Godzilla later on. That's funny. And of course, we are, the day we're recording this, the weekend we're recording this, I've been at PAX East the whole weekend, and the big video game convention, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire came out, which I absolutely loved, especially if you love the real Ghostbusters cartoon series. But a week after Ghostbusters comes out, if you're listening to this in the future, Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire comes out, which is definitely not going to be the Oscar-winning film that Godzilla Minus One was, but I digress, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Another place that we possibly recognize this actor from is he was on one episode of Alien Nation as Bob. So I think he was one of the street kids.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. But you'll also be interested. He was in Freddy's Nightmares, one episode as Pete.
Yeah, I did not rewatch that show, and that was a veto on my part that we're not going to cover it. It's just I tried rewatching some episodes, and it's impossible. There is an episode guide coming out, a book behind the scenes of it. I am interested in buying that because I don't have to watch the show.
Yep.
But yeah, there is a episode guide for the Nightmare on Elm Street TV show coming.
And you might also recognize him from Girls Just Want to Have Fun as the character Sam.
Interesting.
Which was his first acting credit here.
So not the song.
No, not the song.
Girls just wanna have fun.
No, it's a
movie.
You know,
the first time I ever heard that was on Alvin and the Chipmunks. The Chippendales were singing it. Yeah.
And the other of our kids is played by Noah Blake, who is still working, and recently was on 8 episodes of Red Rooms as Ethan Campbell.
I don't know that show.
I'm not familiar with it either. He was also in Red Dead Redemption 2 as one of the voices. He's been doing voices on various games, such as Uncharted 4 and Mafia Definitive Edition. Let's see, he's doing a little bit of producing recently with Red Rooms. Yeah, he's co-producer for Red Rooms.
Oh, yeah, I definitely don't know that one.
And he did a few episodes in the, you know, late 80s, early 90s, a lot of television shows we might enjoy, such as Mr. Belvedere, Growing Pains, Married with Children, 21 Jump Street, that type of thing.
Gotcha. There's a lot of werewolf vision in this episode, too, by the way. I just want to point out, they definitely harker back to that. I also think it's probably the most active John's been for a while. A lot of times he is sitting, getting captured, tied up, beaten up, or standing still and just delivering dialogue. I feel like they gave him a lot more to do in this, too.
Yeah.
He definitely, I mean, he's running around with a gun. Very 80s style to turn his collar up. I love the fact that he busts in on a room with the Teddy Rock's been on roller skates or something like that. But they give him more to do besides just talking and sitting and standing and then writhing around on the floor as he switches out for the body double for the werewolf.
Yeah, you know, he's actively breaking into storefronts in this mall, tracking down this werewolf. And I'm not exactly sure whether this werewolf was Skorzeny in this episode or not, because we do see a werewolf, you know, and it is the girl, Michelle, who's played by Lisanne Falk, who is still working today, or I should say, still alive, but recent credits, let's see. Oh, not recently, but she's known for being Heather McNamara from The Heathers.
The movie The Heathers. Okay, gotcha.
Heathers.
Yeah, okay. I do enjoy that film. I do love the fact that when he fires the gun, he falls backwards. Like, the impact of the gun actually, you know, if he's not used to shooting a gun, someone would react that way. And so it's kind of funny, but him plowing through the toy store with the gun, there's two other horror iconic things that come to mind involving toy stores and horror: Chucky, because he was turned into a doll in the toy store, and in Gremlins, with Gizmo rescuing Billy from Stripe.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. Just, I mean, I'm sure there's a thousand other toy reference horror movies, like Dolls or whatever, Puppet Masters. But in a toy store, those two movies come to mind.
I did recognize one of the toys. The creepy clown animatronic, I believe, is the same style of animatronic from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, from one of his nightmare scenes. I didn't double check this, but I'm pretty sure that it was in there.
Which one? The robot? The
yeah,
one
it's like this
the head
robot.
Off?
No, not the toy robot that he shoots, but it's a face scene up close before the camera moves to show more of the toy store. And this clown does like a very jerky animatronic wave thing.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. I recognize that immediately. I'm like, where is that from? And it just struck me, like, I think it's Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
And do we have an IMDb on who the girl is that he runs into?
Yeah, that's Lisa Ann Falk. I was just talking about her. Yeah, Lisa Ann Falk. She hasn't done any acting recently. The last credit she has is from 2002, Casablanca as Wendy, which was a short, and Suicide Kings as Marty's wife.
I just find it funny that he finally meets somebody it seems like he can connect to, and dead.
Yeah, it also seems a little bit odd because Eric doesn't seem to transform back and forth from werewolf to not very rapidly.
Yeah, I mean, like, that should be an overnight thing. And in some episodes, it does seem like it's an overnight experience for him. Because he's waking up usually naked, with everything gone. And he's got to go collect it and steal it again. Kind of like Bruce Banner waking up after the Hulk's bender. You know, it's the same thing. It's the Hulk. It's the werewolf. They both wake up. At least Banner's got his pants still on.
Yeah, because you don't want the Hulk bursting out of those shorts.
In Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Oz would store some clothes away or whatever. Or, like, you know, Giles comes in the morning sipping his coffee, reaches over and locks the cage for Oz to get out.
Yeah, so, as I was saying about the transformation, she seems to move from human to wolf and back to human very quickly. And, you know, she transforms and then changes into that gold dress that she wears for most of the episode. It's a little weird that she was the werewolf because it just didn't seem like there was enough time for her to de-werewolf and get dressed before he found her.
Right. But they did an okay job with her human werewolf makeup as she's dying, and then just obviously, you know, cut, take all the makeup off, put her back down on the floor.
Yeah. Absolutely. It was very well done, considering the time frame. She ends up looking a little bit, in my opinion, like Cro-Magnon-like.
Yes, a little bit. But a lot of werewolves look like that because of just crappy special effects.
But this isn't crappy. I think that was very well done. I think that...
No, I didn't say this was crappy. Oh, okay. In general, werewolves look like Cro-Magnons because special effect makeup just can't pay attention to what's worked before.
Yeah.
You know, I would rather go buy a dime store werewolf costume and apply some makeup around it than try and reinvent the wheel with something that they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And we can bring those conversations up with a certain guest coming up soon. So we have an interview scheduled for April 4th. That's the next time we're recording with a guest who's worked on the show for extensive number of episodes, by the way.
Exciting.
Yes. And then I think we are going to be... So what episode was this? Episode 24?
This is 24.
Okay, so 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. We have 5 episodes left, and I think the big change in Eric's course of action is about to happen soon. I thought it was these 2 episodes.
Yes, it's a 2-part episode coming up for our next podcast.
Okay, so that is an important change in the entire dynamic of the show. We are going to say goodbye to somebody and introduce somebody new, and that would have carried into a season 2 big thing, but I digress. Unfortunately, we can't reach anybody from story-wise to find out what would happen season 2, but maybe our guest would have known. I don't know. Or maybe he's got contact with somebody. We'll have to wait and find out. So, because all I see is stuff on the internet, which I can't tell is real or fake or not. But someone's pointed out to me that there's some Fangoria or Cinescape magazines that have articles in there about werewolf. We'll have to track those down and read them if we can find them.
That'd be great.
There's an article written when the show was on the air, and then an article about like what kind of would have happened later on. It was like, I think we did an interview with Frank, who was the show creator. So, I digress. We'll see what our guest coming up can give us for inside information.
Yeah.
That's all the notes I have here for this episode. We're almost at the end of our Zoom call too, by the way.
Oh, I've got a couple more. Eric MacGyver's that crossbow bolt in order to shoot Michelle. So like that, him MacGyvering, melting silver to put on the tip of that bolt. Brilliant. I loved it. Absolutely perfect, because I think he was just too frivolous with his gunshots, and he was actually able to use the crossbow and kill her. And I think that little snippet of him MacGyvering that, chef's kiss.
Gotcha. Have you ever shot a crossbow before?
I've shot crossbows and recurve bows.
I have not, but I've shot an arrow with a bow multiple times. I have target outside, and I love when there's snow. We didn't get a lot of snow this season, but when there's snow, I love building a snowman and shooting with arrows.
Yeah, yeah. I love her quote about malls. You know, Eric is asking her, like, why do you live in a mall? And she says, I know everything about malls. I got my first credit card when I was 13. There isn't anything that you can't find or do at a mall. It's everybody's dream, isn't it?
I guess in the 80s and the 90s, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, Eric does, you know, give her the line that she's a material girl.
which is a Madonna song.
Exactly.
Which would have been way too expensive at the time for this episode.
Oh, no, they would never have gotten it for this.
No. But I digress. We're almost out of time, by the way.
Okay, all right. I'll cut it there.
Okay. Don't forget, you can find us on the Dead TV Podcast Facebook page. ThatRadioHorror@gmail.com is the email address, at ElegantKinky and at ChrisDSAV on our Twitters. Don't forget, I always keep forgetting to plug my long-running radio show for 16 years on Radio of Horror, Radio of Horror on WCUW, Worcester, Massachusetts. You can listen to me there every Sunday night, with the exception of the 24th of March. I'm recovering from PAX East, and I don't want to do my show that late. I'm exhausted. So, long, tricky PAX East. Mostly spent alone. Kind of sad. Yeah, my friends are few and far between when it comes to video games. So, I strive to hopefully have a group to go with next year. So, but I digress. Okay. We will be back in a couple of weeks with the 2-part episode and a special guest here on the Dead TV Podcast.
Good night.